Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you, if you've not already, to pick up your copy of An Ounce of Prevention. An Ounce of Prevention was actually my first ever a detective story. It's a novelette featuring my detective, Jerry Newton, who agrees to be a bodyguard to a fourth grade teacher and then faces the biggest dilemma of his career after meeting a mysterious woman. I encourage you to check it out. It's An Ounce of Prevention. It's available as a Kindle book or as an audiobook through audible.com or the iTunes store. You can also read the Kindle version for free if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber through the Kindle Lending Library, or it's also free through Kindle Unlimited. And a full list of books, audiobooks, and ebooks is available over at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date is March the 2nd of 1949, and the title is The Phony Accident Racket.
What's the matter, Mary?
Oh, you were a million miles away.
I guess I was.
What's her name?
Buttercup. Poor little Buttercup.
Oh, are you still thinking about last night's performance of Pinafore?
Say, those two boys, Gilbert and Sullivan, made a great team, didn't they?
Oh, you bet.
I am the monarch of the sea, the ruler of the Queen's Navy, whose praise Great Britain loudly chants,
but
and so on my cousin...
Everybody on the street looking.
Me thinks I should have been an actor.
You have enough ham in you for a whole troop.
And you're bringing home the bacon.
Oh, Blackie.
Hi, Blackie. Miss Weston.
Hello, Frosty.
How's my favorite newsboy?
Okay.
Good. I'll take my glove, please.
Sure, Blackie. Here's your Sentinel.
Frosty, the Globe.
That's right, Blackie, the Sentinel.
What's the matter with you, Frosty?
Nothing, Blackie. Here's the Sentinel. Take it, will you? Hurry.
You know I get the Globe every day.
Of course he does.
For once, he's got to read the Sentinel.
Go ahead,
Blackie. There's something in it he's got to see.
Want a beer with flavor? A flavor that's delightfully, deliciously different? Try that smooth beer. Try Champagne Velvet. The beer with the million-dollar flavor.
Thank you, my friend, for a very happy suggestion. It's worth repeating. Try that smooth beer. But Champagne Velvet is more than just that. It's a beer with a rare and unusual flavor combination. It's bright and sparkling from foam to finish. It's light and lively with a clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. And best of all, it has the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor that stamps it as a beer of real premium quality. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price.
Light and lively, bright and sparkling, yet just as smooth. What a flavor combination. And you're sure it's pure.
Now back to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Oh, I give up, Blackie.
Beats me.
We've looked through the Globe and the Sentinel, and every important story's duplicated in both papers.
We still have this back page, Mary.
Well, probably just like the rest of the paper.
There must be something here, or Frosty wouldn't have insisted I read the Sentinel.
Well, maybe we've overlooked something.
Could be. Well, let's just check this back page.
Okay.
In the first column on this back page, there's a story about the school board voting the teachers a raise in salary.
Checking the Globe, I got the same story.
Mary, hold everything.
You'll find something?
This is what we wanted.
What is it?
Sentinel exclusive. Automobile accident victim is no victim.
What?
The Sentinel reporter saw a man named Steven struck by a car.
Well?
Yes, as it says, Sentinel exclusive by Lester Hopkins. Automobile accident victim is no victim.
Oh?
Gunther Stevens, a resident of this city, was struck by a passenger car. This reporter was in the vicinity and saw Stevens standing on the sidewalk for several minutes.
Yeah.
When a car driven by Mrs. Theodore Stone was almost upon him, Stevens jumped into its side, smacked the car door with his fist, and fell to the ground moaning in pain. When confronted with your reporter's version of the accident, Stevens stood up, declared he was all right, and walked away. Mary, this must be it. A phony accident racket.
Well, Blackie, why should Fosty make you read the whole newspaper to find this story? Why couldn't he tell you about it?
Maybe somebody was watching him. I'll find the connection myself.
Oh, where are you going?
To talk to the reporter, Lester Hopkins. Find out what part of the story, if any, he didn't print. I'm going to make a reporter report to me.
Brother Harry, have you seen a sentinel?
My dear Dolores, so much excitement.
Well?
Be calm, my good woman.
Calm? Well, let's see how calm you can be when you read this story.
Something about our Polk Street mission in the newspaper.
Here, read it for yourself.
Where?
There.
Oh, sentinel exclusive. Yes. Accident victim is no victim.
Here.
Oh, dear.
But what are you going to do?
Let us not rush into this. We must examine all the avenues of approach and then act decisively.
Oh, Brother Harry, you are so masterful.
Thank you. First, call this reporter, Lester Hopkins.
What?
Yes, and tell him to be careful when he crosses the street.
What do you mean?
Precisely, do it, my dear. Here's the phone number in the editorial box.
Well, I guess you know best, Brother Harry.
Sentinel.
Les Hopkins, please.
Just a moment, please.
Hopkins.
Listen, you nosy reporter, just a tip.
Who is this?
Never mind, but you'd better be careful when you cross the street. Well, there, that takes care of him. Now I'd better take care of the boys in the mission. Peace, brethren! Peace, brethren! Brethren, there is no need for all this excitement.
Who most started, Mr. Lord?
I
tried to chisel to the head of the line.
All right, Thomas, all right. Bobo started it. But you should realize that there is plenty of food here for everyone. The Polk Street Mission is here for you, all of you. Is there any question of that? Now, those of you who have your food tickets, line up in single file at the kitchen entrance. Those of you who have no tickets will get them from me. All right now, brethren, come ahead. Bobo!
Yeah.
Come here, I want to talk to you.
What do you want, Mr. Lawrence?
Oh, I haven't seen you in quite a while, Bobo.
I was working.
Oh?
Washing dishes in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. How long can you go on washing dishes?
How's your shoulder?
It's okay, I guess.
Completely healed from the last accident.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
Feel like putting it to work again?
For how much?
$50.
Where do I take the guy?
We'll figure out a place.
Well, figure good. I don't want to be loused up like Gunther Stevens.
All right. Now.
Imagine taking a flop right in front of a reporter.
Is this the Genius Department?
Oh, Boston Blackie.
Hello, Lester.
Oh, just walk into this broom closet. Doubles as my office.
Oh, if I take a deep breath, there may be room for both of us here.
You didn't come up here to make jokes, Blackie. Now, what do you want?
What did you leave out of that story on the accident victim, Gunther Stevens?
Oh, where do you come into this?
I don't know. That's why I came to you.
What I tell you is just between us, okay?
Check.
I think I've stumbled onto a phony accident swindle.
Your story certainly sounded like it.
Bigger than I thought.
What do you say then?
Some dame called me right after the story appeared and told me to be sure and look twice before I crossed the street.
Threats? Well, sounds good.
Or it may be a crank, but I doubt it.
So do I. Now, what did you leave out of the story?
I followed Gunther Stevens after the accident.
Yeah.
He's holed up in a broken-down apartment house on Doyle Street.
Well, what did he say when you talked to him?
He slammed the door in my face.
No kidding.
Threatened to call the cops if I didn't leave him alone.
I'll be done.
I'm including all this in my follow-up story.
Do you have the address of this Gunther Stevens?
Yeah, just a minute. Yeah, here it is. 3175 Doyle Street.
3175.
One flight up.
Uh-huh. Well, can you hold off your story for a while?
If I can get a better one.
I'm not promising anything, but I'm going down to see Gunther Stevens.
Suppose he slams the door in your face.
If he does, I'll slam his face into the door.
Bobo, are you ready?
Yeah, Miss Dolores, I'm ready.
Good. We checked. Now, a man should be coming along in his car in a couple of minutes.
I hope so.
And he should be good for at least a couple of $100.
Well, that's okay by me.
All right, then.
But I wish he'd get here. I'm tired of waiting.
It's better than waiting on Main Street, like Gunther.
Ah, he was a jerk. Or was that your idea?
No, it was his own idea.
Listen.
It's a car. It's got to be the one I think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, Bobo. I'll wait back here in the bushes. You know what to do.
Here it comes.
Oh! Oh! Oh, my arm! Oh, you broke my arm!
I'm sorry.
Oh.
You all right, mister?
Oh, my arm.
Hey, honest, I didn't
my
see you, mister.
My back.
You walked right into my car.
You were speeding.
No, I
I'm
wasn't.
I'm going to sue you. I'm going to get your license taken away
from
you.
Now, wait a minute. Just a minute.
Oh.
Hey, you better get in the car. Get in. I'll take you to a hospital. But I wasn't speeding, mister.
Look, mister, I saw the whole thing. I think you were speeding.
Wait a minute. Where did you come from?
I was walking along this road here. You were going 60 at least.
Gee, thanks, lady.
That's all right.
This man says I walked into his car.
What?
Oh, my arm.
Oh,
this is going to cost you your license. You're never going to drive again.
Now, look, lady, help me, will you?
But you
I need my
hurt.
Car for business. I didn't see this guy. The whole thing was all an accident.
Hey, what can I do,
mister? I can't afford any trouble.
And
lady.
I can't afford no broken arm.
Well, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $100.
Look, it's none of my business, mister, but this man's doctor's bill certainly will run more to that.
Yeah, but I...
How much money do you have on you?
Well, let me see. I got $260.
Say, fellow, would you forget about this for $260?
Well...
It's all he has.
Please, mister, huh?
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, you go ahead, mister. I'll take care of him.
Poor little buttercup.
Slacken up,
poor little buttercup.
You don't want Gunther Stevens to know you're coming.
Doesn't make any difference. He's here. He can't run away. Poor little buttercup.
Blackie, what's that odor?
It's gas. Come on.
Huh?
Hurry up.
Come here.
Hello, Blackie. What kept you?
Faraday.
Why so surprised? You never surprised me.
Blackie wasn't surprised. Your face scared him.
Thank you, Mary Wesley. What do you want here, Blackie?
Well, I just wanted to pay a social call on Mr. Gunther Stevens.
Now, Mr. Stevens won't be receiving visitors anymore.
Really?
I don't think you should come in, Miss Wesley.
Oh, is he dead?
Can't you smell that gas?
Suicide?
Oh, come on in, Blackie, and look for yourself.
What a dirty place Stevens lived in.
So he wasn't neat.
Yeah?
Anyhow, there's Stevens lying next to the stove.
Sure must have hit bottom to think of killing himself.
Well, Blackie, I got news for you. Stevens didn't kill himself. That gas was just to make it look like a suicide.
Oh.
He was murdered. I don't know why or who did it.
Yeah, of course, you do.
No, but I'm going to find out who found him in before you found him dead.
Premium quality. Yes, sir. Premium quality that is yours to enjoy at no premium in price.
Now, that's something worth remembering. But every time you pour your glass of champagne velvet, you're reminded that you're enjoying a real premium quality beer at no premium in price. You know, of course, that more costly malt and grain, higher-priced hops, and more careful and costly brewing methods are all a part of CV's famous million-dollar formula. So CV has to have unmistakable premium quality. CV's flavor tells you all of that. It's bright and sparkling, light and lively from foam to finish, with the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor of a real honest-to-goodness beer. Real premium quality beer. But that's not all. It has a clear, clean taste, given it by controlled aging. A taste that makes you sure it's pure.
And it's smooth, 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 just as smooth.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. A downtown mission serves as a front for a phony accident racket. And it is from the ranks of the charity seekers that Dolores recruits her needed stooges to fall in front of cars. Blackie is put onto this racket by a newspaper story. And a tip from reporter Les Hopkins leads him to Gunther Stevens, one of the stooges who fell in front of a car. However, when Blackie arrives at the home of Stevens, he finds Inspector Faraday there. Stevens has been murdered. As we return to our story, Blackie and Faraday are still in the apartment of Gunther Stevens.
Find anything, Blackie?
Nothing in this closet except suits of clothes and a torn pair of shoes.
Yeah, that's all?
Yeah.
But what's...
Just look at this suit, will you? Look at this suit. Jacket torn, sleeves worn at the edges, pants patched in half a dozen places.
Well, stop admiring Stevens' wardrobe, Blackie, and search the pockets.
Okay, Faraday, relax.
Relax.
In this next pocket, we have matches and a meal ticket for the Polk Street Mission.
Sure beats me why anybody would want to kill a down-and-out bum.
Don't you read the papers, Faraday?
What papers?
This is the guy who tried to fake an accident on Main Street yesterday by walking into a moving car.
Which only proves how down-and-out he really was.
Does it? Maybe it proves that he was killed by someone higher up in the phony accident racket.
So now it's a racket. A great big phony accident racket.
That's what it might be.
Yeah, as phony as you...
Stevens carried a meal ticket for the Polk Street Mission.
Uh-huh.
I'm going over to the Polk Street Mission and see what I can find when I poke around a bit.
Brother Harry, peace.
Come in, Sister Dolores. I take it everything went as planned.
Without a hitch. Bobo took his flop like a veteran. He wasn't even hurt.
Good, good. How much?
$260.
East, it is wonderful.
I gave Bobo $50, which leaves us $210.
I'm satisfied. Oh, excuse me, my dear.
Oh, of course.
I must remember to have a phone extension placed in this outer office.
Yes, you should. Bobo, what are you doing here? What do you want?
I came for the rest of the dough.
I gave you $50. That's your share.
I want more.
I gave the rest to Brother Harry.
Don't lie to me. I was standing outside the door. I hand it over.
No! Oh, you're hurting me.
You made up money.
No, let me...
Where?
No.
What the... No!
I guess it's bye-bye, Bobo. Ain't it, Lorna?
Peace, Brother Bobo. Peace.
Like Caesar, he got ambitious. And like Caesar, he wound up on the floor.
Blackie, you know, you look like a hobo.
Oh, I hope I do, Mary. I don't want anybody to recognize me.
With you looking the way you do, I don't want anybody to recognize me either. Blackie, I'm beginning to wish we never passed that newsstand yesterday.
Frosty knew just what he was doing when he gave me the sentinel.
No, I don't
now
know.
Now, relax, what... Mary. Will you please relax? I'm just another bum going into the mission for a free meal ticket. My name is now Buddy Smith.
Well, good luck, Blackie.
So long, Mary.
Brethren, I trust you all have your meal
tickets. Hey, I don't.
Oh, well, come and get one, brother. Nobody is ever hungry at the Polk Street Mission. Isn't that right, brethren?
You seem to be a stranger in our midst, brother.
You said it, sister.
Why haven't we seen you here before?
Just learning to walk without my crutches.
Oh, accident?
Yeah. Got knocked down by a car, both legs broken.
Too bad.
Bad. Sister, was worse than that.
Really?
On my back for almost a year. No job, no dough, no nothing.
I see. What's your name?
Buddy. Buddy Smith.
I'm glad to make your acquaintance, brother Buddy.
Likewise.
My name is Sister Dolores.
Hi, sister. Say, you don't know where I can get a job or something, do you? Anything to make a buck.
Well, as a matter of fact, brother Buddy, I do know how you can make some money.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Easy money, if you're not careful how you make it.
I'm listening.
Okay, then. Come with me.
Where to?
See, brother Harry. He's right in the next room, Mrs. Dolores.
Well, you understand, I don't care what it is as long as I make a buck, don't you?
I understand, all right. You wait right here. Hi, Harry.
Come in, Dolores.
Harry, I've got somebody to take the place of the two brothers we had to knock off.
Indeed?
This brother has had both legs broken at one time.
Both legs broken, eh?
Mm-hmm. And he's just starting to walk around again.
Excellent.
He's waiting outside. Shall I bring him in?
I'll go take a look at him first.
All right.
My dear Dolores, you know who that bum is?
Told me his name was Buddy Smith.
Buddy Smith?
Yes.
He's disguised, but he's Boston Blackie.
What?
Yes, I will take care of him. He doesn't know I recognize him. Now, I want you to go out and tell him something.
Okay.
He wants to take a fall for us, we'll let him. But the fall will be permanent.
Blackie, haven't you changed those horrible clothes yet?
I am the monarch of the sea, the ruler
in,
of the
silly.
Queen's Day. I am the monarch of the sea.
You look more like Barnacle Bill to me.
I mate. I've had a rough trip.
What have you been up to, Blackie?
Well, I don't have time to tell you right now, Mary.
Huh?
I need your help.
Oh? What do you want?
Two things. One is, I have to make a phone call to Les Hopkins, the Sentinel.
Yeah?
The other is, I have to borrow something to pay off this whole case.
Don't drive so fast, Brother Harry. We don't want to attract the police.
Especially with that Bobo's body in the back of the car.
Yes.
I understand, my dear.
How much longer, Brother Harry?
The waterfront is around this next corner. Anybody on your side of the car?
Let me see. No, nobody here.
All right, my dear Dolores, let us get on with our task, but quietly.
Right.
Now, just let me open this car trunk.
Maybe I can help. Harry, I hope nobody comes nosing around.
Let us hope that good fortune is with us. You keep watch. I can manage by myself.
All right, Brother Harry. I'll stand off over here.
If anyone comes, engage him in conversation. It will only take a couple of minutes.
All right. Harry, I think someone's coming.
All right. I'm almost done. Sister Dolores, 'tis done. Now to take care of Boston Blackie.
Harry, I'm worried.
Have faith, Sister Dolores.
But if Blackie is on to our setup at the mission, maybe the police know, too.
My dear, Blackie is a lone wolf. He and the forces of the law are not simpatico.
See. So, once we get rid of Blackie, we are in the clear. You remember the plan?
Precisely.
Good.
The intersection at Woodhaven and Mart is around a curve.
Right.
And Buddy, that is Blackie, knows he's supposed to be waiting on the curve for us to pick him up.
Right. But instead of picking him up, we are going to knock him dead.
Correct.
Fine.
Keep your eyes open. There's the curve.
And there is Blackie sitting on the curve.
Well, he probably hasn't heard us. So much the better. Here we go to smack right into Boston Blackie. That was a good night's work, Dolores.
Brother Harry, you are really terrific.
Thank you, my dear.
Harry, Look. The office door is open and the light's on.
Whoever it is has had us come up the stairs, my dear.
Hello.
And who might you be?
Les Hopkins of the Morning Sentinel.
Harry, he's the one who wrote about that decision.
Quiet. And what do you want?
I want to do business with you.
I don't understand.
I happened to be at the intersection of Woodhaven and Mott.
Oh, really?
I had my camera with me, and I happened to snap the picture when your car killed Boston Black.
There must be some mistake.
Oh, no, there's no mistake. I have the picture. Do we do business, or do I go to the cops?
Harry.
Let me handle this, Dolores. What is it you want, Mr. Hopkins?
I want in.
Indeed?
I've been onto your setup. A phony accident racket using a mission as a front. And getting bums who have already been in accidents to take dives. And I like it.
Needless to say, Brother Hopkins, I don't like your liking it. And this gun I'm holding emphasizes my objection.
What are you going to do?
Is there a doubt in your mind?
Why, you wouldn't dare.
Brother Hopkins, I've already killed Gunther Stevens, Bobo Martin, and Boston Blackie.
I've got news for you, Harry. Blackie isn't dead. In fact, he's standing right behind you.
What? Oh, I'm a ghost. Hold the light.
Here we are, lady.
Where's and you, man, brother, Blackie? That gun. Just drop it, please.
Look out, Blackie. Let me hold it.
Bad ideas, bad aim. I'll take the gun.
No!
That's better.
I don't understand.
It's all very simple, brother. I saw you peep out at me from your office, and I walked up to the door and listened and heard you tell Dolores that you recognized me.
But you were at the corner of Woodhaven and Mott Street.
Sorry to disappoint you, but that wasn't me. It was three pillows and a sheet which I borrowed from a certain young lady propped up to look like a body.
Let me go. I'm getting out of here.
You're going out?
Oh!
Blackie,
yeah?
Here's our newsboy friend. He started the whole thing with his insisting you read the Sentinel.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Frosty.
Hi, Blackie. Miss Leslie.
Hi there.
How'd you like that article, huh?
Oh, it was great.
Sure was.
Put me onto the solution to that phony accident racket.
Phony accident racket? What's that got to do with my sister's wedding?
Frosty, what are you talking about?
Didn't you see it?
Huh?
A two-column spread about my sister getting married with a picture and everything.
Well,
that's what I wanted you to see in the Sentinel. Didn't it surprise you?
Oh, Blackie.
Oh, Blackie is right. Come on, Mary.
Yeah, bye, Frosty.
Can you imagine? This whole thing was hatched because Frosty's sister was hitched.
Make mine CV, because for me there is no finer beer. And it's just as smooth. Make mine CV. So many folks who know good beer when they taste it have said just that. Time after time, that Champagne Velvet is not only the leading beer by far in its home state of Indiana, but it is preferred by particular people everywhere that it is sold. There's only one reason for that. And that is flavor, the bright, sparkling, light and lively flavor of a real premium quality beer. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price. The rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor of real, honest-to-goodness beer. And the clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. So make yours CV, because for you, there is no finer beer. You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth. And now, here is a preview of what happens next week.
Now, Blackie, this is the house.
I hope we're in time, Mary.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Police car.
Yeah, that woman must have called the police, too. But we can't wait for them. Let's go.
Okay. I'm right with you. Come on. Well, why ring the bell when I break in? That woman who called said she was going to be killed.
I think I hear somebody moving around inside.
Yeah? It's Faraday in that police car.
Oh, I might have known you'd be here, Blackie.
Hello.
Look, Blackie, if this is one of your gags...
No, look, it's no gag, Inspector. Blackie got a call from a lady who said she was going to be killed. I was there when the call came through.
I got the call, too, and it...
What are we standing out here for?
I rang the bell. I'm waiting for someone to answer it, unless you have a better idea.
I always have a better idea than any you think of.
If you do, you sure can keep a secret.
Blackie, someone's opening the door.
Oh,
what's the big idea of all this racket?
Now, take it easy, old timer. We just want to see the lady of the house.
Lady? You got the wrong address.
Yeah, you got the wrong idea. I'm Faraday of Homicide.
Homicide?
A lady called us, gave us this address, told us she was going to be killed. You better let us in.
A lady called. This address is going to be killed.
What's so funny?
Well, you can come in and look around for yourself.
That's just what we intend to do.
But there's been nobody inside this house except me for the past 3 years.
Welcome back. Blackie and the police not being simpatico? I guess that's what happens when you act on information that is way out of date, at least 4 years as far as this show is concerned. And for that matter, if you notice that Boston Blackie is in disguise, given his record, it really does make sense to do something that will throw him off your trail, such as trying to find him a legitimate employment opportunity. Trying to kill him if he survives, and he's got a pretty good record of that, is going to just confirm his suspicions. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. And we have this from Bill, who writes, I was glad to hear you mention the saint during your commentary after the episode. I recently finished binge-watching the series on the Tubi streaming channel and noticed the parallel in the relationship between Templar and Inspector Claude Eustace Steele and Blackie and Inspector Faraday. In the beginning of both the series, the inspectors automatically tried to pin the crime of the week on Templar slash Blackie, but as the series progressed, Templar slash Blackie became a valuable resource for their respective characters. While I enjoy both series, I prefer the relationship in the latter episodes of these series. Thanks. Well, thanks so much, Bill. I have been watching my way through The Saint for quite a while, you know, an episode every now and again. I am not, you know, all the way through the series, so I don't know if I've seen like a big through line for The Saint and Inspector Teal. Part of that is that the episodes are generally based on stories written by Leslie Charteris, the creator of The Saint, but are pretty much, at least in these early seasons, coming from throughout his chronology. The Saint really did start out as someone who would often commit crimes, but they would be against criminals or other sort of ne'er-do-well evildoers, as the Saint referred to them, the ungodly. And then about World War II and afterwards, it became much more of a proper crime fighter on a consistent basis. And the stories in the early seasons seem to be picked throughout the Saint's career. So the relationships between the Saint and the law enforcement does vary. Of course, Inspector Teal isn't in every episode because the Saint in the TV series operates worldwide and has police foils of a wide variety of descriptions. Bill also did have some comments on Sherlock Holmes, the number two with Basil Rathbone, the number two series in our listeners' choice countdown. And we had some technical difficulties with that episode where only a partial came up. But Bill writes, third time was the charm. Excellent choice. Had me guessing right up to the reveal. And thanks, Bill, for that. I think that it's really a sign of how good Doyle is that the plots of his stories, you know, not every aspect, but I think the plots and just the overall way the stories are written still hold up remarkably well for a lot of modern readers, which isn't something you can say for most of the detectives or adventures novels, you know, so much of that era, you know, particularly things that would be considered comparable, have been all but forgotten. But Doyle came up with some really ingenious plots and also could come up with some that were just quite startling in the whole idea. You know, the idea of the Speckled Man just definitely resonates, you know, to this day. So thanks again for the comments, Bill. And then I have an email here from Doc. And we corresponded about some of the technical issues. He said, my wife came in and asked me to mention that she is an avid Basil Rathbone fan. She has two life masks, dozens of original lobby cards from the 14 Sherlock Holmes movies, and autographed pictures of Basil and Nigel. Those are definitely neat collectibles. The lobby cards in particular were a nice thing they had during the golden age of cinema. He also comments on the episode itself. He said, although I'd heard the episode a few times, as in the case with any great production and acting, I hear something new every time. I have to agree with Harry Bartell, the Petri Wine spokesman. When it comes to poisonous snakes, I do my best to keep my distance. It was amazing to me that Sherlock decided to return the snake to its container rather than dispose of it. I suppose it was just another indication of Sherlock's fearlessness. I wouldn't necessarily think it was an indication of fearlessness. To me, I think the idea of having it go back into its box, it was a trained creature trained to go back into its box. And I think, first of all, it's, you know, easier to do that. It can be tricky to, you know, take care of and do away with a snake like that, and I don't think Holmes was particularly experienced. Plus, you know, the animal wasn't doing anything other than what had been trained to do. It was really just an instrument, so no real reason for Holmes to destroy it. Well, I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon of the day. Thank you so much to Steven. Steven's been one of our Patreon supporters since March 2016, currently supporting us at the Master Detective level of $15 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Steven. And that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then next Monday, we'll begin our second go-through of Box 13. And next Thursday, we'll be back another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.